would make up for what I had lost. Chapter 4. I have never been more wrong. The people I met were dull to the point of extinction. They treated me like just another cog going around with the rest of the wheels. I was coggy, all right, and kept wondering how I had ever gotten into this mess. Not really wondering, since the memory was still quite vivid. I was carried along with the rest of the years, their teeth sunk into mine. We ended up on a planetoid, that much was obvious. But I hadn't the dimmest idea of what planets we were near or even what solar system we were in. Everything was highly secret and hush-hush, as this place was obviously the super-secret headquarters and main base of the core school, too. This part I liked. It was the only thing that kept me from cracking out. Dull as the cubes were who taught the courses, the material was something I could really sink my teeth into and shake. I began to see how crude my operations had been. With the gadgetry and techniques I soaked up, I could be 10 times the crook I had been before. Pushing the thought firmly away helped for a while, but it had a way of sneaking back and whispering nastily in my ear during periods of depression and gloom. Things went from dull to dead. Half my time was spent working at the files, learning about the numberless successes and few failures of the core. I contemplated cracking out, yet at the same time couldn't help but wonder if this wasn't part of a testing period, to see if I had enough stick-to-itiveness to last. I swallowed my temper, muffled my yawns, and took a careful look around. If I couldn't crack out, I could crack in. There had to be something I could do to terminate this term of penal servitude. It wasn't easy, but I found it. By the time I tracked everything down, it was well into sleep period, but that was all right. In some ways, it even made it more interesting. When it comes to picking locks and cracking safes, I admit to no master. The door to Inskip's private quarters had an old-fashioned tumbler drum that was easier to pick than my teeth. I must have gone through that door without breaking step. Quiet as I was, though, Inskip still heard me. The light came on, and there he was, sitting up in bed, pointing a 75-caliber recoilless at my sternum. "You should have more brains than that, DeGriz," he snarled, creeping into my room at night. "You could have been shot." "No, I couldn't," I told him, as he stowed the cannon back under his pillow. "A man with a curiosity bump as big as yours will always talk first and shoot later. And besides, none of this pussyfooting around in the dark would be necessary if your screen was open and I could have got a call through." Inskip yawned and poured himself a glass of water from the dispenser unit above the bed. "Just because I head the Special Corps doesn't mean that I am the Special Corps," he said moistly while he drained the glass. "I have to sleep sometime. My screen is open only for emergency calls, not for every agent who needs his hand held." "Meaning I am in the hand-holding category?" I asked with as much sweetness as I could. "Put yourself in any category you damn well please," he grumbled as he slumped down in the bed. "And also put yourself out into the hall and see me tomorrow during working hours." He was at my mercy, really. He wanted sleep so much. And he was going to be wide awake so very soon. "Do you know what this is?" I asked him, poking a large glossy pick under his long broken nose. One eye opened slowly. "Big warship of some kind. Looks like Empire lines. Now, for the last time, go away," he said. "A very good guess for this late at night," I told him cheerily. "It is a late Empire battleship of the Warlord class. Undoubtedly one of the most truly efficient engines of destruction ever manufactured. Over a half mile of defensive screens and armament that could probably turn any fleet existent today into fine radioactive ash, except for the fact that the last one was broken up for scrap over 1,000 years ago," he mumbled. I leaned over and put my lips close to his ear, so there would be no chance of misunderstanding, speaking softly but clearly. "True, true," I said. "But wouldn't you be just a little bit interested if I was to tell you that one is being built today?" Oh, it was beautiful to watch. The covers went one way.